You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
A lot of ground to cover with Troy Rink, our Denver Post insider on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. He joins us now, so let's jump right into it. As we get set and wait for the second round for both teams, Troy, does Nuggets-Timberwolves feel like the Western Conference Finals to you?
I mean, certainly from a talent perspective, I mean, Anthony Edwards certainly feels like the potential future of the NBA along with Victor Wembanyama. And these teams match up well. They're athletic. I like the matchup a little better for the Nuggets, I think, than most, because they can't really – they won't double-team Jokic with Rudy Gobert. And as Jokic – and it was – his numbers wouldn't suggest this, but it was a weird series for him against the Lakers because they just doubled him all the time. And he was trying to get his teammates involved consistently. I would think if they stay on single coverage with him that you're going to see more scoring from Jokic, less dependence on the players around him.
Yeah, I would say he could have probably had a record in assists if guys could knock down shots while he was being double-teamed by the Lakers, but that's for another day. Hey, what do you think matchup-wise? Would you rather see, and Mike and I were talking about this for the Avs, would you rather see Vegas or would you rather see Dallas be the next opponent of the Avs?
I mean, Vegas has been there, done that. I mean, they've reached the finish line, and they have a way of playing their best this time of year. I mean, they're in an absolute just bare-knuckle brawl with the Stars right now. I mean, you know, I would probably lean slightly toward the Stars just because of Vegas's experience and the way they've played this time of year. But right now, the Avs, I mean, again, I was wrong. I thought they would lose to the Jets in seven. The remarkable U-turn they made defensively, and give Georgie credit for his play. But when they're scoring like this, guys, they scored, what, like 28 goals in five games? I mean, they were the highest scoring team in the NHL. We know that. But we're like, how are they going to win in the playoffs trying to score, you know, five, six goals a game? And they did it against the best goalie in the league. So right now they're playing as well as possible offensively. When you've got Nichushkin playing the way he is, they are so much better when he's available on the ice and causing havoc in front of the net that I don't know that it matters completely who they match up against, Mark. I mean, I would tilt slightly toward Dallas just because of Vegas's experience.
And while I'm dreaming of a dual parade for both the Nuggets and Avs, if you had to pick one coming out of both of their first round series, who do you feel more confident in winning a championship right now?
I'd still say Nuggets because they just did it. They did not play particularly well for long stretches against the Lakers and still won in five games. And because of the fact they are still due to start shooting well, as Mark indicated, I mean, they brick shots for long periods. Even Murray, you know, I mean, this guy is Mariano Rivera. He's the best closer in basketball right now. I mean, he can have three quarters where it looks like he can't find the rim, and next thing you know, he's just absolute money for the last 4 or 5 minutes of a game. But I would go with Nuggets, and I don't mean to dismiss what Gorgiev did in this last series. It's just the goalie thing is always so delicate, as you know, Mike, from covering hockey. It's always so volatile. It only takes, two, three bad games, and then you're out of a series. So as much as he proved that he can turn it around, it's just a long way to go for him, where I would trust the Nuggets facing the Celtics being a favorite all the way through than I would the Avs. But they both now are showing they still have a remarkable chance to have a dual championship. That would be just so amazing for our city and our state.
All right, so the dust is settled over there at Dove Valley right now. They've got the draft through. They're through free agency. They've made, a couple of trades with Zach Wilson. Also, what's the kid's name? Franklin Myers, the defensive tackle. So as you assess the roster and what they did in the draft and all those things, Troy, what is your overall kind of view of what the Broncos have done this offseason and where they sit right now?
Well, they revamped their defensive line. That helps. They could not stop the run last year. I mean, it was just, even as their defense played well during the five-game winning streak and the 16 takeaways, they still didn't stop the run really during that time either. So they're better with DJ Jones and Zach Allen, Franklin Myers, Malcolm Roach. Like, they have a better chance to stop the run, get the double teams off of DJ Jones. So that's encouraging. That's kind of a quiet thing that they improved Offensively, I'm worried about their lack of weapons. Again, we've talked about the Bo Nix pick. I like Nix. I'm worried about his ceiling. But if Sean, you know, there's a hope and trust element here. Nix provides hope, and there's some trust in Sean Payton that he sees the fit, that he'll have Nix exceed expectations to maybe where he was drafted in terms of, you know, if he's the 25th best player, the 40th best player. But what are the weapons? And so in absence of that, Mark, I lean on stuff you tell me all the time. Be boring, stay on schedule, and run the heck out of the ball. I estimate that my guy, Audric Estime, is going to get a lot of carries. They can be physical on the ground and be in third and four, third and three. That will help Nix tremendously. The offensive line is built to run. As much as people criticize the offensive line, internally, the Broncos were not unhappy with their offensive line play. They assigned a lot of those sacks to Russell Wilson, and they are a good run-blocking team. So I'm encouraged because of the fact that it looks like they should run the ball better, and they're going to stop the run better. What does that mean in the big picture? I don't know, but I love the fact they addressed those two issues.
Troy, your article today, your column at Denver, at the Denver Post, is when it comes to Coach Prime, you are what you tweet. The latest round, the latest salvos from Dion and his kids on social media, pure entertainment or a bad look?
I don't have real issue with Shador. I mean, kids live on social media. Once Shador did the Rolex flex, the watch flex, he embraced the idea that he was going to be kind of the villain in this. And so I don't have as much issue. And he's defending his father, who happens to be his head coach. So, but my issue with Dion is that he tweets positive messages. He talks about love, that this is, you know, this is how we should do stuff and act. I mean, his Twitter timeline is motivational messages in that way. I just think it was unnecessary to comment on this kid from Austin Peay who got into it with one of CU's players over the original kid from Austin Peay who was in the Athletic article. And in this case, it doesn't matter who the head coach of CU is, whether it was Lane Kiffin, whether it was Bill McCartney. It's just for the head coach of CU to be on social media taking a jab at a player in college, I just think that's unnecessary. That part is unnecessary. I was very narrow in my criticism of him because Dion preaches a certain thing on his Twitter timeline. I just think it's unnecessary. Now, people will say he gets ripped all the time and, you know, finally he responded. Listen, I understand that. But as the head coach of a football team, I don't think social media is the place to do it. He has his own media empire run by his son, Dion Jr. That is where your clapback is. That's where you have your chance to say your side unfiltered. You control that narrative completely. That's not independent media. That's your own media branch. I just think it was unnecessary as the head coach of CU to take a jab at a current college player that's not on your team. I don't have issue with the transfer portal. I really don't. It's free agency in college football. That's not my issue. It's just as the head coach of a college football program, whether it's CU, Nebraska, or Alabama, I think you have to be above criticizing other players that are not on your team on social media.
Yeah, you're probably right, but I'm not above it, so I'm going to give him a pass.
That's true. Yeah, pot meat kettle. Yeah. Troy, thanks.
Thanks, Troy.
You got it, guys. See you. Take care.
Troy Rank, you can check out his article at the Denver Post, our Denver Post insider on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Four Down Territory next.